Please take your Bible now and turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. Everything within the Christian life revolves around that new nature of that gift of Holy Spirit within us. All that Christ is in us now as a result of that Spirit of God. And therefore, as God's children, we can put on the mind of Christ, walk in love and in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. In this tape, we're going to look at our responsibility as God's children to walk within this world. And this world is a world in which there is a battle taking place, a spiritual battle, a battle between God and His spiritual kingdom, of which you and I are a part, versus Satan and his spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of evil. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, Jesus Christ is having a conversation here with a Samaritan woman. And we read in verse 21, Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We, that is, we the Jews, worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." Jesus Christ here speaking to this Samaritan woman in the context of the Old Testament background, in the context that the Jewish people were the chosen nation of God. And he says to that woman that there's a time coming when what you Samaritans worship there on that mountain is going to be changed, as well as what we Jews worship as well in regards to the temple area within Jerusalem. Verse 23, "Yet a time is coming and has now come." The literal text here means "is now on its way." "The time is coming and is now on its way when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." In other words, no longer will the people who desire to know God worship Him in a physical temple, or in a physical holy city, or upon a holy mountain. Instead, the true worshipers will worship their Father, will worship God in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God, since the beginning, has always desired to have a people who could worship Him in spirit and in truth, who could worship Him truthfully by way of that Spirit of God. Ever since the fall of Adam, God has been setting in motion His plan in order to redeem man back to Himself, to reconcile man back to Himself, so that man could once again have that perfect fellowship with God as their Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ accomplished this by His death, His resurrection, and His ascension. And since the day of Pentecost, when that gift of Holy Spirit was given, it has been possible to once again be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. This is the Father's desire. This is what He seeks. He seeks to have that spiritual communion and fellowship with His children in spirit and in truth. Turn over to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. In Philippians, chapter 3, we see some further information regarding this new nature of that Spirit of God within, which can be summarized in the phrase of Christ within us. Because it is the Spirit of God which was in Christ and now is in us, giving us that new nature. All of the ability of God which was in Christ is now in us. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 1, we read, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you." Paul here is writing to these Philippians in order to guard them, in order to keep them strong within their faith in Christ and in their knowledge of God and His Word. Verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. This is speaking here in a figurative sense of the Jewish people who were trying to bring the Christian believers back under the Old Testament law, to force them to undergo the rite or sacrament of circumcision. But Paul says to them in verse 3, "For it is we who are the circumcision." We, the Christian believers, who are the circumcision. That is a spiritual circumcision. The new people of God, as a result of that Spirit of God within us. It is we who are the circumcision. We who worship by the Spirit of God. You and I, as Christian believers, now have the Spirit of God within us. And therefore, we can worship by that Spirit of God. We can worship God in spirit and in truth. And how can we do that? Well, there are perhaps several ways. First of all, we can worship God very directly by speaking in tongues. That is a very direct means by which we can worship God. Because when we speak in tongues, we are giving prayer and praise to God by way of that Spirit within. It is a spiritual communication with God, giving God the praise which He, as a Heavenly Father, desires and deserves. Secondarily, we can also live by that new nature. We can put on the mind of Christ. And as we live, as we transform ourselves by the renewing of our minds, we, as God's people, as the circumcision of God, spiritually, can walk as Christ walked, and thus walk in a way which is pleasing to God. Verse 3 then says, "It is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus." Our glory is in Christ Jesus, because it is in Christ that we are spiritually sanctified, spiritually redeemed, spiritually justified and righteous in His sight. It is in Christ that there is no condemnation for the Christian believer. Because when we believed in Jesus Christ, we were declared not guilty in God's sight. All of the sins which we had previously committed had been washed away. And from that point on, we receive God's gift of righteousness in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we glory in Christ Jesus. It is we who are that circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. There is no religious ritual, no religious sacrament, no religious act of any kind which you and I can perform to make us pleasing in God's sight. It is in Christ Jesus that you and I stand before God, totally redeemed, justified, and spiritually righteous in His sight. Verse 4. So, we have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 4. Though I myself, Paul says, have reasons for such confidence. In other words, if anyone thinks that they have confidence in the flesh, I, Paul, have more. If anyone else thinks that he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day, according to that Old Testament law, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church of God. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. In other words, Paul was the pure supreme example of the Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee, zealous for the law. He was so zealous that he persecuted the church of God. If there was anyone who could have stood before God as being righteous according to the law, it would have been the Apostle Paul. And yet, verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Christ Jesus is the Lord of you and of I. We have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. We have believed in Him, and as a result, we are in Him. We are not to put our confidence in the religious ritual of man. We are not to put our confidence in the traditions of men. Instead, our confidence is in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul says, I count everything loss for the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. And I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Paul, that Hebrew of Hebrews, said that all of the religious ritual of man was of nothing in comparison to that surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. Jesus Christ was the end of the law. He was the end not only of that Old Testament law, but it is in Him that you and I find our righteousness for God. Because it is in Him that we are spiritually redeemed and justified and receive that gift of righteousness. Now, look over in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, just turn over a couple of pages. Because this is the Christian walk with God. It centers around being in Christ Jesus, and it results from the great truth that we have that Spirit of God within. We have been baptized by that one Spirit into Christ. Therefore, we stand before God not guilty. We stand before God as His children, clothed in the righteousness which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Colossians chapter 1, we read in verse 21, this then speaks concerning how our former state was before we knew Jesus Christ, and then the result of it and our responsibility towards God. Once you were alienated from God, Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. This is the way every one of us was at one time. We were captivated by sin. We were alienated from God, and we were enemies in our minds towards Him. Verse 22, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight. Through the death of Jesus Christ, God has made possible your redemption and mine. He has made us holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. This is our spiritual standing before God. Verse 23, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the responsibility of the Christian believer. It is to continue steadfast in our faith in Christ. It is to not be moved away from that hope of the gospel, that future hope of the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Lord and He is our Savior, and we are to continue in that faith in Him, and thus, in doing so, we have the continued assurance of salvation to be attained at the hope, at the return of Jesus Christ. Look down in verse 6 of chapter 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. You and I have believed in Jesus Christ. We have accepted Him as our Lord. And now the Word of God says we are to continue in Him. We are to be established in the faith. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Put on that mind of Christ. Live by that new nature. worship God in spirit and in truth. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. This is our responsibility before God. We are to continue in Christ Jesus. We are to continue to be rooted and built up in Him by renewing our minds, transforming ourselves by putting on the mind of Christ and walking in fellowship with God, our Heavenly Father. As we do this, then we have that continued assurance of the return of Jesus Christ before us and the salvation, that eternal inheritance which will be ours at that return. Verse 8, see to it then that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. There are all kinds of philosophies within this world, all kinds of religious systems. You and I, however, are to continue in our faith in Christ, in our knowledge in Him. We are to be rooted and built up in Him. The whole Christian life revolves around being in Christ Jesus and walking as Christ lived. There is no worldly philosophy or knowledge which you and I need in contrast to that as far as our spiritual life is concerned, because Christ is our all. See to it then that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and on the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Jesus Christ was the Word of God in the flesh. He was the Word made flesh. He was the communication of God towards man. He was the complete revealing of all of God's love and goodness to mankind. Therefore, our completeness is in Christ. Verse 8 again. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. We are not to be deceived by the philosophies and religious systems and deceptions of this world. Instead, verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Our completeness, our fullness is in Christ. We do not need the religious and the philosophical deceptions of man. Instead, our faith is in Christ. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He will return and gather us together to be with Him forever. Therefore, we put on that mind of Christ and live for Him. Look over in chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. You and I, when we believed in Christ, died with Him, were buried with Him, and then were made alive and raised together with Him. Therefore, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. This is our hope. It is what we continually look to as Christian believers. We don't live according to the systems of this world. We don't measure our lives by the standards of this world. Instead, we measure it by that one standard, that new nature within us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. That future judgment of God is coming upon the sin of the world. Therefore, we should put those things to death. We should blow them to smithereens. We should not live according to these evil things, evil nature of the world. Verse 7. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. Each of us did. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, that Christ in you, that new nature of the Spirit of God within, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. You and I are to put off that old nature, that sinful nature, that old way of life, and we are to put on that mind of Christ, to walk by that Spirit of God, so that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. Verse 11. Here, in this new nature, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Christ is in me and Christ is in you by way of that Spirit of God. Our whole life is to be centered on Him. We are to remain steadfast in our faith in Him as our Lord and Savior. We are to not be moved away from that hope of His future return, when we will be gathered together with Him and live for Him and with Him through all eternity. And until that time, we are to live for Him by putting on that mind of Christ and walking according to that new nature. As you and I do this, then, we will be pleasing in God's sight. We will be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, you and I are God's chosen people. We are His elect. Holy and dearly loved, God loves us. We are holy in His sight. Clothe yourselves, therefore, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. This is how we are to live. This is how we are to walk as Christ walked. We are to be clothed with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and patience. We are to bear with each other because we each have our faults. We each need forgiveness. This is the life in Christ, and it's the life which you and I as Christian believers have before us as our goal. Verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is the binding factor within the body of Christ. It is that love of God. As we walk in love, we will be walking as Christ walked. And together, as believers within that body of Christ, we will be able to help each other, strengthen each other, and build each other up until that future return of Jesus Christ.